Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. It is Tuesday, August 7th, our second day on the big gay road trip out here to Palm Springs. 115 degrees today in the shade, so we're having a good old time. So if you missed yesterday's show, be sure to check out the podcast. We got a nice welcome by the mayor of Palm Springs. Robert Moon came by and welcomed us to the show, told us a lot about the city. We had Joe Deedle and Ben Zook, the creators and stars of the Where the Bears Are video series, and Ardeo Daily, star and producer of Bad Boy and Bad Boy Comes Out, and our buddy Mike Stoltz from Just Tapas Restaurant in Palm Springs brought us over some little munchies to try. So a great show yesterday. Today is going to be just as good, if not better. I have a couple of good buddies with me. We have Brandon Roth and Mike Vega, whose fantastic film, made in only 24 hours, Tomcat, is a top 15 entry. We're going to talk about all that in just a couple of moments. We have Tony Tripoli, fantastic comedian, scheduled to appear. We're going to have to reschedule him. He will be here very soon. And then we also have, representing Salad in a Jar, we have Kevin. It's going to be fantastic. We have some food here in front of us, and you know I like to eat, so it's a beautiful thing. So welcome to the show, everyone. How you doing?
Good. All right. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming down. We are in the beautiful Indulge Resort in Palm Springs, California. A big thank you to the owners, John and Sandy, and manager. I forgot his name for a second because I'm losing it. That's okay. Raymond. There we go. But we're having a great time here at the resort, and I'm glad you guys were able to drive in to do it. Some of you guys for an hour and a half. Some of you for 20 minutes. What the heck? All right, well, let's go ahead and start. We have some great restaurant partners while we're in town. Like I said, we had Just Tapas yesterday. We have Thousand a Jar today. We have an 849 restaurant coming next Monday, next Tuesday. We have JoJo's, just all sorts of people coming all during the road trip here. But Kevin, welcome to the show. How are you doing? How long have you been with the company?
We're going on our second year doing Thousand a Jar, and we are a local delivery service. It's not just salads. We have gourmet tacos, infused waters, fruit, all kinds of great things. So it's not just salads.
And you guys have an amazing production facility. I've seen some pictures of it. It just looks like you're at a Baja Fresh salad bar or something. It looks fantastic.
We have a commercial kitchen. That's our manufacturing facility. It's not a walk-in, dine-in establishment or a brick and mortar. It's simply where we produce our product because we are a delivery service.
That is awesome. And what goodies did you bring for us today?
Today I brought you our Greek salad. We have a barbecue chicken salad. I brought you some sweet potato tacos, our famous cold gazpacho soup, and mixed fruit.
Very good. Guys, for you at home, sorry you don't get to see this. It's really good. I'm going to Instagram post it here in just a couple of minutes. But it looks delicious, and it is a salad in a jar. It makes it real convenient. It doesn't do a lot of waste for it. Talk about the concept of the company and how long, you said you've been doing this for almost 2 years?
This idea was actually thought of about 7 years ago by my wife. She's the driving force behind all of her businesses. And she simply made a salad and put it in a mason jar and posted it on our Facebook. And all of her friends just flipped out for it. And she just thought, well, it's kind of silly. It's just a salad in a jar. But she kept getting requests from our friends. Hey, make me one of those. I want one of those. So my wife, being the ultimate entrepreneur that she is, she said, okay, $10 a salad, I'll bring it to you. So it started as simple as that out of our home. This is 8 years ago, and it really exploded very quickly. And we had to look at the situation. We couldn't scale it because we're in our house. So we literally had to stop doing it. But right after that, my wife, once again, created a raw nutrition bar, which we started manufacturing in her home. Got the first cottage food law out here through the city of Indio, so where we could do that out of our home. The first year that took off, we built our own manufacturing facility and produced that bar for the next 2 years, then sold that business.
Wow.
We had our facility still, and my wife said, I think we should do salads in a jar again, because now we have a facility. I have an 18-foot walk-in cooler. I could put as many vegetables as I want in there. And we said, well, why not? Let's give it a shot. And that's how it took off.
That's amazing. And then you're based in Indio, but you travel everywhere. Where else do you deliver to?
I deliver all the way from Thermal to Palm Springs. Only areas we do not deliver to right now is Desert Hot Springs and Thousand Palms. But our facility is on the east end of the valley, so I start the east end Thermal, and I work my way to Palm Springs.
And tell everyone how it works. Do you deliver 7 days a week? Do you have certain times? How does that work?
Right now we have summer delivery hours. So the way it works is we deliver on Tuesdays and Fridays. As long as you have your order in by 3 p.m. the previous day, for example, yesterday, had to have your order in by 3 p.m., we produced all the product yesterday, and then I delivered it today. Once again, this Thursday, if you're interested, go to saladsinajar.com, place an order by 3 p.m., and I will deliver it to you on Friday.
That's amazing. Be sure to check out my videos on social media, guys. I have a lot of pictures from it. Like I said, you can see their facility. You can see their truck. You can see what they look like in there. They're really amazing. I love good food. I'm a big foodie, and you know, I've lost a lot of weight. I still love to eat, so it's a little different for me now. I appreciate it. Thank you and your wife, Kevin. Anything else you want to tell us about before we go? And like I said, give it all of your social media and where they can find you.
We are on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Like I said, it's a delivery service. Tuesdays and Fridays are our delivery days. We also have amazing catering. We've catered for Cambria. We've catered for the Ritz-Carlton or Griffith Estate. So we do amazing catering, too. That's a whole other part of our business. And everything is done online. Saladsinajar.com. That's salads with an S. Inajar.com. You see the menu. Everything's there. You place your order, and then you see my smiling face the next day.
And you only take web orders, or you take phone orders as well?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes we have some, let's say some older people who aren't too savvy with the computer nowadays, and they're having trouble. They simply just call us, and we'll place a phone order, and we either take their payment over the phone, or they can give me a check, or anything. Always make it very simple for everybody.
Nice.
Yeah. I've delivered.
You have a lot of repeat customers? You have a lot of repeat customers, I can imagine?
Yeah, we have repeat customers, but we could always use more.
Yeah,
we home or off. Wherever you're at, like I said, I've delivered to somebody that's at the Home Depot parking lot before. She wasn't home, she wasn't at work, but we were driving. Where are you at? I'm here. Hey, I'm right here. Let's meet here. And I met her at the parking lot at Home Depot and gave her an order.
Nice.
Yeah, salad's on the corner.
I think I have a couch like that once. I don't know how legal once. I find a couch like that. Someone delivered to me. But what the heck? That is amazing. Well, guys, you definitely should check out the website. Place your orders. If you're in the delivery area here, you're not going to regret it. Sam, I want to bring you on just a couple seconds. We're going to introduce you in a second, but let's go to a break. We're going to taste some of this fantastic food, and Kevin's so busy, he has to make more deliveries today. So we're going to lose Kevin. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes, again, with Brandon Roth and Michael Vega, who are in this great 24-hour produced film called Tomcat. So you're listening to Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back on the other side of the song break.
Thank you.
All righty, I believe we are back. They can't hear. Tim, if you can hear there in the studio. Oh, now we're back. Okay,
yep,
I can hear myself.
In.
Yay! Sorry about that, guys. Hey, I have on the line with me Sam, my intern. You guys met him last Tuesday. He is actually running this entire show from beautiful downtown Northeast. Actually, he's not Northeast. He's in Central Ohio. While I'm out here in the balmy, warm weather of Palm Springs. How's everything in Ohio today, Sam?
It's very hot up here.
Very hot where you are. Telling me how hot it's there.
I mean, it's probably nothing like in the upper 80s.
Upper 80s. Yeah, my 115 in the shade wins, okay? I just want you to know ahead of time.
Yeah.
But it's a dry heat, so we're good. You got the dry heat.
Yeah.
All right, well, Sam, how's everything going in the studio? Everything going good back in Ohio for us?
Yep, everything's going well.
All right, well, I appreciate you. We're only going to have you for one more week, and you're back to school, I think. We'll have to take a couple weeks off before we can get you back on the air, right?
Hopefully, yes.
Good help is such hard to find, I tell you. You're doing such a good job there. All right, well, I'll tell you what, Sam. Go ahead and put us into another song break here. We're going to fix ourselves up a cocktail or two or five here and keep trying this wonderful food that's here. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Brandon Roth and Michael Vega from Tomcat. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Alrighty, and we are back, everyone. Welcome back to Left of Straight Show. Like I said, we're so sorry that Tony Tripoli couldn't join us today. We're going to have him on a later show, but I do have my other two guests right in front of me, live and in person, Mr. Brandon Lee Roth and Mr. Michael Vega. Guys, how are we doing?
Good. Great.
Surviving. We have a cocktail in hand.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
Yeah. Nice icy cold beer.
Beautiful.
The beer
beautiful.
Champion.
I love that.
Right here.
Well, let's talk about, I've had you both on the show before. Michael, you've co-hosted me quite a few times. Brandon, you've been on the show a couple of times as both a fitness consultant, as an actor, producer. So a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Let's start about a little background on each of you. Brandon, give a little bit of your backstory first for people that might be listening for the first time.
Sure. Yeah, I'm originally from Minnesota. And I grew up in a really small town out there. As soon as I graduated, I headed over to L.A. I've been in L.A. now for 10 years, getting over the 10-year mark, so I'm officially a native. But I started in acting and musical theater and that kind of stuff. And then as of recently, the past couple years, I've been doing more acting, producing, kind of multi-hat, editing, directing, all that kind of stuff. So I've done a few shorts and have worked on a series and then worked on this latest short, which we'll talk about in a moment. But that's pretty much my background. I mean,
fantastic. And I love the name of your production company. Let everyone know.
Oh, Innovative Squirrel. Yeah, that's my production company. The squirrel is actually to do with my late grandfather. So it's kind of an homage to him. But yeah.
Very cool. And Michael, give everyone a quick Reader's Digest version of Remind Yourself of You.
Remind myself? Or
it depends how much you've had to drink so far. I think it's early enough you could remind the other people.
I'm aware of that beer.
I'm a man of certain years. So sometimes I do have to remind myself. Oh, it's me. So I was born and raised on the East Coast, New York, was in New York for 9/11, so that sort of propelled me and someone else to the West Coast. Spent about 8 years in San Francisco, and I went to school and to college for theater, but wasn't until getting to San Francisco that I really threw myself into it, and did quite a bit there. And then moved to LA. It's going to be about 8 years in November. And, oh, my God, that's a while.
Yeah.
Time flies. Doing the acting thing here and there. As you probably know, back in 2015, I went back to New York to the show there. And, just living the dream as well as I can.
Living the dream. I love it. So cool. Well, we're going to talk about all this project in a second. This was done in 24 hours for as part of an international film festival. It was a competition. Oliver, describe the competition first, Brandon.
Yeah, so Film Racing is a company they do throughout the year. They'll do these racing competitions. So they have a 100-hour, 72-hour, and then a 24-hour film race. You enter, you pay like a small entry fee, and then they give you that time frame to shoot it. So I've done the film racing before. I believe it was a 100-hour film race before, and that was, quick and fast and fast-paced. But then this time around, I got a wild hair. I got a random email from them, like an update checking in, and was like the 24-hour one was around the corner, and I, messaged my girlfriend, Randy LeMay. She was our cinematographer, to see if she was available for it. And I said, do you want to do this 24-hour thing? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. So we stuck our heads down, got it done. In 24 hours, they literally give you 24 hours to write, produce, shoot, edit, and return a short film.
And is that part of the rules? You had to write it too? You couldn't use a previous work that you'd worked on before, but
yeah,
you had to do everything?
Yeah, so it's in that time frame. And how they kind of gauge it is they give you kind of three things. So ours was Time's Up was the theme this year, and then the prop was an action figure, and then the action was staring at your reflection or staring into your reflection. So that's how they gauge it. Every year they'll send you out an email that says, these are the three things, you need to incorporate it, and go, 24 hours. So it was a real race. I was like, up for 36 hours. I worked early that day, and by the end of it, I was zombified. We had, like, uploading it with 20 minutes to spare, like, really under the wire. Like, it was such a crazy, cool experience. I'd totally do it 1,000 times over. And, yeah, I mean, it was just a lot of fun.
That's what would scare the hell out of me. I mean, I worked as a office manager of a video production company, and just to upload and get the video to render can take 3 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
It's got to be crazy time.
And it's so hard to gauge, too, because you don't know. You know what I mean? That was definitely the scariest part. I think I gauged myself like 3 hours to maybe four to edit and upload. So that's, you know, like when I was doing it, you know, you just kind of, you start going, okay, picking and choosing your battles as far as before I render it, because it was just at that point where it's like, okay, and go. And I'm such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
I could sit and do it for a week.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine that, you know, one of the biggest challenges, because I don't know if I told you I was involved in the San Francisco has a 48-hour festival,
mm-hmm.
And Maurice Melno was the director, writer, whatever, and it did really well. It's called Stagecoach in the Sky, but my only point being the getting everybody together, the other players together,
yeah.
on such a short notice, you know, actors and everything, and just getting that commitment from them to
yeah.
really have to trust people to...
Oh, yeah, you know, we really had a lot of, so the character Tomcat is from a series that I'm actually working on that I've been writing, and I want to pitch and get the scripted series going. So the character itself I knew I wanted to use for this project. I was like, I really want to carry it over. It's kind of going to be a prequel to the actual series. And it's a good way to get that character up and moving. So I think, like, the discovery of who that character was kind of already in my head. But, yeah, in terms of, like, getting everyone together and getting the schedule done and stuff, it was, like, under a tight thing. I messaged a couple people just saying, like, are you available this day? I'll give you a call time the night before if you're flexible, but just kind of keep this day open,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was lucky enough to have some great, talented, amazing people, Michael Vega being one of them, on the set, who were really, like, into getting it done and really, you know, flexible. I think, you know, it always helps when you have great actors who are willing to put in the work and the effort, you know. So I appreciated all my actors who came on board and threw themselves into the project.
And I really hope you used a soft lens for me, because I was a little tired from the night before.
Really soft.
I wanted that Barbara Walters
yeah.
Vaseline lens.
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael, I mean, you've known Brandon for a while now, but as an actor, you have to really have trust to have something that everyone likes rehearsal and things like this, and you're in a 24-hour turnaround, you're getting a script in front of you. What's it like as an actor to do a project? You know, yours wasn't the biggest role, but talk about the getting into that kind of a mindset and the trust it needs to be able to do a project like that.
I mean, first and foremost, you know, especially when it's a friend, it's like, you know, I want to do this. Just because, you know, you're a friend of mine, you know, and that you know, pretty much propels me through it. I mean, I don't think, honestly, I don't think if you were my friend or if I knew you, you know, if it was just a sort of random audition call, I probably would have said, you know, not under this sort of time constraint.
Well, right, and this isn't actually the first time that Michael Vega's been in an elevator for me. So when I messaged him, I said, would you love to reprise your role as man in the elevator? So we've worked together before, and I think, you know, that always helps.
And we've been in elevators before.
Together.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it.
Elevators. No elevators.
Yeah.
So give us, what's the overall story arc, Brandon?
So this character, Tom, he, you know, he lives in the everyday kind of world, except for the fact that he identifies as a cat. So the series kind of evolves around him getting comfortable in his own fur, you know, so to speak. I like to call it trans species.
I'm going to spew corona everywhere.
So he's trans species. He identifies as a cat. And the idea behind it is kind of, you know, how it all came to fruition for me was I love watching documentaries. I love watching documentaries about types of people. I think that's the actor in me. I just like to watch what makes people tick and how they act and stuff. So I'm fascinated. And I did watch this one documentary. It was a Furries documentary on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it was so interesting and so intriguing. And I was actually emotional watching it. It was really heartfelt, and I connected to it for some reason, just as a gay man or whatnot, you know. And it was like, there's something there. There's something to be told there. I think a lot of times, you know, it's going to be, the series itself is very indicative of a trans dialogue.
Right.
You know, in a different, doing it in a different way, a little bit campier, a little bit more humor behind it, you know, as far as the cat aspect of it. But it's very much along the same lines as that. People really over-sexualize furries. And for them, a lot of them were like, "That it's not about that. It's actually deeper than that, you know?" And I feel like that's the same with trans.
I've actually seen a furries film, but one that would never be televised on Netflix.
Yeah, well, yeah. You get that.
It's interesting because of
18 plus.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many fetish communities out there, and it's interesting to, because every story has two sides.
Yeah.
And I mean, we all kind of, we didn't accept the trans community forever as LGBT for a long time. And so there's, everyone has their time, their day. You need to tell these stories like this. We actually, in Northeast Ohio, I have a furry friend, quote unquote, that loves, he works for Puppy Mill, so that's not the good part, but he stands on the corner all day long getting people in, and he's saying, I don't like the company he works for, but it makes his day to be able to dress up in his puppy outfit and stand on the corner and interact with the people.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what our series is really based on, acceptance and the idea of accepting people for who they are. And, you know, as comfortable as we want to be, you know, the outside world does affect you, the way people look at you or stare at you. And I think as the LGBTQ plus community, you know, we can all identify with that. So that's kind of the dialogue we're going with. And that's the story arc, you know, it's worth watching. Yeah.
I think the part two should be, so we were, me and a friend were walking around Disney the other day, and I saw someone in a Spider-Man costume, and I thought, things I probably shouldn't share here, but,
yeah.
You know.
But you did have a good, you have a moment where I think you, like, chuckle, you know, you think, like, oh, God, I would, and then there's that insecure moment in yourself that, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, where you're like, oh, God, I could never go with a Spider-Man to, you know, as a grown person dressed in a Spider-Man costume.
Yeah.
So you kind of, that's where the laugh comes from, and you realize, like, wow, that's actually my own.
Oh, exactly. I made myself uncomfortable with the thought that I was sexualizing the idea of wearing this costume and, you know, feeling, you know, comfortable. Like, it's just,
sure.
Because I think that sexualizing it makes it more comfortable than accepting it, right? Mm. If you can sexualize it, maybe it can be more comfortable to you and mask whatever stuff you might not be accepting.
Absolutely.
Necessarily you in that moment, but I'm just saying in general.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
And how were you able to incorporate your, what was it, action figure, or what did you have to use?
Oh, yeah, the action figure was actually, like, one of the, like, harder parts for me to kind of figure out what I wanted to do with it. We ended up using, I don't know if there's any Westworld fans listening, but we ended up using, they have those Funko dolls, and I have the Westworld ones. I have a Dolores. And then I got this, like, limited edition Dolores bot, you know, when she's the bot. So in the series, there's a shot where the alarm clock wakes him up on two different days, like, kind of when he's in this dream sequence and then kind of when he's not. But, like, so the action figure is there, like, just behind the clock, kind of very subtle. But if you're a Westworld fan, you'll totally catch it and get what it means. And totally
nice.
Yeah, we should have
like
known about the action figure aspect earlier, because I could have given you an entire – I'm a closet case geek. Well, not closeted anymore.
Not closeted.
Yeah, right. Not closeted. But I have thousands of action figures you could have gotten.
I have to bring you guys down to my buddy Wally's. It's actually my brother's buddy. I don't know him at all. But he's a patient friend. He is a voiceover actor, very popular and everything. Mm. But he is a collector, and he has turned his entire house into a collection, basically. He has a tri-story apartment in near Glendale area, I think. Or actually, it's near Burbank, North Hollywood. But he has one full room dedicated to full-size mannequins of, like, the person from – God, I can't think of it. Music of the Night. Music of the Night. Phantom of the Opera.
Oh,
Phantom of the Opera guy. He has the guy from Taxi. Andy's Coffin's Eric character.
Oh.
He's got Star Trek characters.
Lockjaw.
He's got a full size of the blue guy from the Animal or the Monsters Inc. He's got a full size fembot from the old TV show,
crazy.
The Million Dollar Man. And then he's got a jewelry. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
And I love
him
stuff. Like
I can let go. I told we got these Funko dolls, and I was like, that's it, though. I can only get the Westworld ones because they are so stinking cute. And there's so many for every different movie.
You opened
the
Pandora's box there.
No, I limited myself. I said, it's only Westworld. I'll only get the Westworld.
Guess what I'm going to start
that's
getting
it
for your birthday.
Better
now. Every time.
I don't need any more.
I have a reason to go to the
My house would be full of them. I can blink, and I can just see it now.
They make one for everything.
I know.
It's
crazy.
Now, Michael, what can you tease us about your character? I mean, those who followed you, we see you in all these period pieces and costumes and serious roles, and now there's a real fun role to do. How do you like doing those, or do you like...
Oh, I mean,
we got him in a petticoat.
Honestly.
We're still a period piece.
I came in like Mary Poppins. I was in the elevator, and I just floated out. I hit the ceiling. It was very sad. In this it's just a cameo. I mean, the whole thing is like, it's how long?
Yeah, the short's just 8 minutes. Not a lot of dialogue at all. It's more reactionary stuff. People reacting to seeing him on the streets of Buffett.
And it was easy to react to him because, I mean,
I'm such a...
He is. Like, you can't see it, but it's a lot.
I am wearing this fish shirt for a reason. I wore a shirt with fish on it just as a...
And a net shirt underneath.
So
you get the whole...
Just the promo pictures with your fur on it made me itching in Palm Springs here at 150 degrees. It's like,
yeah, I was
wearing
the fur coat.
Goodness.
I was like, no.
I don't think so. Goodness.
He did bring the collar, though.
Yeah, it's just the collar.
But that's for later. And not, no. That's
well, talk about this festival now. You're good. You tell me how many people entered. You guys got top 15, so they're going to be showing this in the end of August. Talk to me about that part.
Yeah, so, you know, we said...
17 people entered.
And we got the top 15. No,
I'm so kidding.
That's so funny. Quite a bit of people entered from all over, you know, like in the close to 100, I think I want to say. But, you know, we sent it in, and, you know, when you send something like that, and you're like, okay, you know, whatever, we'll hear what we hear, and hopefully we were cool enough or did something good enough. And then I heard from back from them, I want to say like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, it was like super quick. They like returned an email. And so I'm reading this list in alphabetical order of the top 15 finalists, and we're like second to last because of our title. But I went through the whole list, and then I was like, oh my God. And I like double checked it, and triple checked it, and quadruple checked it. You're right. And so we got in the top 15. We're alongside some people from all over. I think there was some more California based people, and then Texas, and there was a Canada submission and one from London even, which will be pretty cool. It was all over. I think it was kind of very gratifying for us. You know, I called my cinematographer and I was like, I'm going to the festival. I got to be there for this. It's premiering and stuff. And she's like, oh my gosh, me too. So we're going to be there at the end of August on the 25th and 26th at the Marietta International Film Festival.
It's a pretty quick turnaround for the whole shebang.
For the whole
right?
thing, yeah.
Like,
a lot of times you do this stuff and you put it away and then you're like, oh, they message you and you're like, oh my gosh,
should I not
even do that? Yeah, right. So it was really, it's cool that they get back to you so quickly. So for any future filmmakers or people who want to try it, like Film Racing, 100% I would like recommend it to go do it because they... At least, you know, they get back to you pretty quickly. If you don't place, they still let you know.
So I would think, and I'm sure for you, that as a filmmaker, just a challenge alone is kind of exciting. Like, can I do this?
Can I do it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the 24-hour thing was literally, like, I just thought it would be impossible.
Yeah.
I did have that little voice in the back of my head that was like, you know, if you don't finish it, it's not a big deal. But you, like, at least you tried, and at least you got footage. Because the other thing is, for a lot of times, for me, I am a huge perfectionist, and I will put something off not because I'm putting it off, but because it's just not perfect enough, or it's just not the right time, or I just do
enough
preparation. So for this, it, like, really put a deadline on me to just, like, get it done. And I got it done, and now I'm like, oh, well, now what's my excuse?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wouldn't know where to begin. I mean, you know, as actor person, tell me what to do. Tell me to do the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, and this is my third or fourth short film that I've done. So I've kind of, you know, getting the production side of things, I'm learning it, and I feel like now I'm in a comfortable spot where I know how to gauge getting actors and locations and all that stuff. But it was definitely a fun challenge, and it was hard work, and it was quite literally a race, quite literally.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We got to fill up the cocktails here. When we come back, I have a little surprise for my guests. We're going to take a small gay road trip instead of a big gay road trip here. And we'll talk all about that, and we'll do a couple roundtable discussions. If you have any questions, you can send them over to Instagram or to Twitter. But we're going to finish up the show a little early today. We're going to do an hour show since Tony had to postpone. But you listen to Left of Straight Show. We're going to have Sam set up a music course, and we'll be back on the other side. Are back. Guys, I am talking to the fantastic Brandon Lee Roth and Michael Vega, the creator and stars of Top Cat, and they are in a race for a competition. They're top 15 in a movie made in just 24 hours. Let's go on to some general topics. Did you guys, either of you happen to get to go to Outfest this year? I know you've been in there and won some things from Outfest. Have you had a chance to see any of the films that's out and coming?
I went to the Out Web Fest, which was a couple months ago. I didn't do anything for regular Out Fest. Yeah.
I did not, unfortunately. It didn't,
yeah.
My schedule didn't allow it at the time, but.
Out Web Fest was really fun. They did, I can't think of the name of it, but Imagine Dragons documentary. Have you heard any chatter about this? Yeah.
No.
It's a documentary.
Rock band?
Yeah. And he's actually Mormon, and he, it's about him and another Mormon guy. He's in, like, Panic at the Disco or one of those kind of bands, who is gay and Mormon.
Yeah.
And it's about, like, gay culture and the Mormon religion.
Thank you.
Yeah, and battling that in Mormon religion, it is really like.
He's actually really amazing. I mean, I know who they are, but I'm not into music, really. So I know who Imagine Dragons is.
Yeah.
I know who the singer is. But I don't know much about music in general, so I couldn't say song. But they did. He's been a great activist for the LGBT community, and they just had in Utah, in Salt Lake City, called
festival.
Love Out Loud festival that he headlined.
Yeah, so that's
and
the documentary follows him.
Oh, okay.
Starting the festival and what it took to get the festival there and why he wanted to do it, all that stuff. Because so he thought it was really touching. It's a great documentary. You just gotta go watch it.
Yeah,
go see it. It's where I was like. Crying, like, emotional.
There were so many people I know that went there. Benji Schwimmer, who was the very first winner of So You Think You Can Dance.
Mm-hmm.
I had him on the show about a month and a half ago. And he was performing there and part of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of Matt Wall is going to be on the show on the 28th or 27th. He got to go out to it and everything. He's from Utah originally. And they said it was a really emotional just being there. I can imagine the documentary, you can edit it and get the feels and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Had to be incredible.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, Michael, talk about your acting a bit. What's your dream jobs? What are you looking to do? Or what would be your dream job if someone had a part to offer right now?
Are you casting? Because, I mean, dream job.
Besides
dream
being
job.
In another elevator.
Well, I would love to win an Oscar, having been
in one of your,
well, in the scene. I would imagine I would have to do more than being in the elevator to win an Oscar. Well,
expand it for the.
But I mean, some people won Oscars for less. I did not say a name. I said no one. Gosh, you know, I've always said many, many years ago, Charles Schulz. When he won his honorary Oscar, Charles Schulz, for anybody who doesn't know, creator Snoopy, Charlie Brown, he said, you know, the beauty of my life is I was able to combine my vocation, my avocation, my love and my work, you know, and there are a lot of points in your life as an actor, we all know, especially if you're doing theater, where your just acting does not pay the bills, and you have to eat, you have to have a roof over your head. And you have to do other work. And so I would just love to be at a point in my career where I was simply acting and that was, you know, all I was doing. So that's my end game there. It's not, you know, fame, fortune, a good paycheck would be nice, but, you know, all of that is meaningless. You know, I love the craft and, you know, just to be able to do that every day of my life. Exactly. You know, that's the end game.
And Brandon, are you kind of transitioning to more behind the camera? Or do you still enjoy the acting part of it?
I do really like the acting part a lot. You know, that's what I started in, and that's where my passion really began. And then, you know, like a little story on how I even got to doing the behind the scenes stuff for me was I was working in Hollywood. I got this gig through a friend of a friend, and it was ended up booking this audition for this HBO pilot with Ryan Murphy at the time at the height of his career. And I was like supposed to be reoccurring on this show. And one thing led to another and it got canned. It didn't end up airing. They didn't end up going forward with it. And, you know, for me in that moment as an actor, I was just doing acting. I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is that moment. Oh my gosh, this is what I've been waiting for. I'm going
right.
to like break through that wall finally. And this is going to be where this is where it happens for me. And then it didn't happen. And it wasn't because of anything I did or anything that I was in control of, you know? And I think that's when I started being like, I can't just like let Hollywood be in control of my career. I need to like figure something out. So I started doing like little shorts and stuff. I think the very first thing that I produced was this fan trailer for American Horror Story Hotel. Because I was like, this is great. I'm going to produce this thing. I'm going to put it on YouTube. It's going to go viral. Ryan Murphy's going to see it and he's going to remember me. He's going to cast me in the next thing. That's what my thought process was.
I was in an elevator.
He was in an elevator for this. So that's where the elevator began.
Yeah.
So that was like the first thing I produced. And then I kind of kept producing stuff. And I did my short film, Logan Plus, which is streaming on Reverie, the Reverie app. And then I did...
I was at a gas station. That was not an elevator.
Yeah.
It could have
he
been.
He was in at a gas station. And I mean, not an elevator, but close enough. And then I did a short, Different Shades, which was for the 100-hour film race. And then I did Hawaiian Snap, which is the one that I won at OutWebFest for last year for experimental categories. A short film shot entirely from Snapchat point of view. And then I did this film. But, you know, and that's where it really all began. For me, being behind the scenes, I do really have a passion and a love for acting and stuff, but I think I just got to a point where I needed to start being more control. I went to dinner with a friend of mine, and he said to me, he said something really profound to me that stuck with me. I was telling him I'm just so frustrated not booking these characters because, you know, they want you to be these straight roles and stuff, and you should act straight acting and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm not booking it. And he finally said, he was like, do you even want to be those characters? He's like, do you even want to be those characters, though? And I was like, and that really stuck with me. Because I was like, he's right, I don't. So I really try to use my platform for characters that are under, what's the word I'm looking for, underappreciated or not as dominant in the film and TV industry.
Sure.
You know, so that's where, that's kind of the long way around of what I do and why I got there.
Well, I think we're seeing that more and more. I'm kind of known as the go-to person for web series. I have people from web series on the show all the time because they get to have that control. They get to produce stuff themselves. They get to star in.
Yeah.
And it seems to be the way of Hollywood anymore. There's 8,000 channels, but now you have your movie actors going to television. It makes it more difficult to get on there. And you're still competing for a lot. You have pilot season where you have talking about a show not being picked up. They make 50 pilots, right? During pilot season, you see, what, 7 of them on a new season anymore?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And for me, you know, I was classically trained. I came out here 10 years ago when I came out here. I studied at a conservatory training. And then when I got out, you know, YouTube and all this stuff started popping up. And now these kids are just like sensations overnight, and they're shooting stuff from Wyoming or wherever they are on location. And now somehow their fame has translated them to more fame in the Hollywood industry. And I think I really did for a while get really frustrated.
It is really frustrating. You know, when I first came to L.A.
Yeah, you're super classically trained.
You know, when I went and then I continued my training at ACG in San Francisco. And so when I was first coming here, I'm not name dropping, but you know, I was hanging out with Bruce Verlage, and I asked him, it was before I came to L.A., and I said, you know, what advice would you give to me? And it was create your own vehicle or create your own content. And I know that that's true, and I know that that was great advice, but it so frustrated me a little bit because here I am, I'm the actor, I'm the vessel, I'm the, you know, I'm how other people's visions come to life. And now because of this, it's, oh, now I have to create this in order to be able to do what I want to do. So, you know, I get it, and it's wonderful. I've gotten over the part of me that it annoys. But at first, it was like, why did I do all this training? I should have gone to school to be a filmmaker, not.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I can imagine that because, like you said, you don't always have the same skill set. It's a different skill set. You're studying for acting, and all of a sudden, writers are going like crazy. But you don't have that skill set. So what are you going to do? And you need to put your own together. You got to find collabs, and it's a little difficult.
I will say now, I think, you know, having the training that I had, you know, the classical training that I had before has really helped me, you know, visualize stuff and really put better products out there. You know, a lot of these people, they're turning and burning content, and sometimes it's quantity over quality as opposed to the opposite.
Throw as many things as you can against the wall. Let's see what sticks.
Yeah. As opposed to, I really feel like when I put something out there, it's like I try to put the best quality, my best foot forward, because when it's out there, it's out there. You know what I mean? It's done. It's sealed. Film is forever.
And oftentimes you're not judged by the best thing you did. You're judged by
the worst.
The worst.
Right, yeah.
And the other frustrating part we've talked about in the show before is anymore when you're going to casting, things like that, it's how many Instagram followers do you have, how many followers on this and Twitter. And it's turned into more of not about the talent anymore. It's about who can you attract or what do you – it's crazy.
And there's so many reasons already besides that already why you may not get cast. I mean, 99% of the time it has nothing to do with your talent. It's, you know, your co-star is you're too short. You're too – you know, you look too much like this other person here. And so it's like all of these things are out of your hand already. And then to throw into the mix, well, how many followers do you have? How many?
Yeah.
I couldn't even say the word. It just trips over my tongue.
But I think people are starting to realize that followers doesn't translate to talent. And at the end of the day, talent is.
Or people are even going to care about whatever you're putting out there.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, not to just nag on the whole social media stuff.
No,
anyway, because it has propelled a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
Like my short Hawaiian Snap is shot entirely through Snapchat. That was a fun way for me to use social media to like do a theatrically trained kind of performance with a social media twist on it. So there is some good that does. There's a lot of good that comes from it.
Absolutely.
You know, you can create stuff and just throw it on YouTube now, and you know you can really develop your craft a lot more easily, buying cameras and that kind of thing. You can shoot stuff from your phone now. It's gotten so accessible, which is great too. You know what I mean? But I think there's good and bad. There's yin and yang to everything.
Well, yeah, I realize the good now, of course, in the past several years. It was just in the very beginning.
At first.
The advent of it all. It was like, another hurdle.
All right, well, let's start to wrap it up. We're going to cut this episode short today. And speaking of social media and how it does have for good, I should mention our media sponsors. Tony Guadagnino does all my shout-outs on Twitter. If you guys are looking for someone to help manage your social media, go to www.tonyguad.com. That's www.tonyguad.com. Of course, True FM Media in Columbus, Ohio. It's carried my show for the last 3 years. When I get back from the big gay road trip, we're going to be doing shows from there every Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to add a video element to it. They're going to stream for us right there in the studios in Columbus. So thanks for them coming on. A big thank you to our guests here at Indulge Resort again. I love my room. I love my guests be able to come down. It's a beautiful place. If you want to come while we're here, the show is every Monday and Tuesday, and the resort is doing specials Sunday through Thursday for just $99 a night to come on down and spend the night. So kind of cool, kind of fun. A big thanks to our partners here in the restaurants, Thousand and Jar that was here today. Of course, we have 849 Restaurant that'll be here on Monday, Just Tapas yesterday, and JoJo's that's coming up. And now for our little gay road trip, we are getting ready to wrap things up because I'm taking my guest today and a friend, and we are going to our other media sponsor, Escape Room Palm Springs. We're going to escape from a vampire lair.
Oh,
we're heading out to vampire time.
Okay, now I need vodka.
We're going to have another cocktail before we go, obviously.
God.
But it's going to be interesting. So we'll report back on that in just a little while. Big thank you to Tony Tripoli, who's going to reschedule with us. Michael, give everyone your social media where they can follow you and if they have a part to cast you in.
Just Michael Vega Act. So my name, Michael Vega and ATT. That's on Instagram. That's on Twitter. That's on the Facebook.
The Facebook, because we're old. Thank you very much
Twitter.
For sharing that.
It's the Instagram.
And Brandon, where can they find you?
Personally, I'm at Brandon Lee Roth, both on Facebook and Instagram. And then at Tomcat Film, if you want to follow the film, we're going to have some promo footage coming out, a nice trailer coming out in the next couple weeks, and then also just to keep up to date with what happens at the festival while we're there. So at Tomcat Film, and then at Brandon Lee Roth.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for being part of the Left to Straight show today.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank you
so much.
Sam, come on the line with us. We're getting ready to go. Talk about, we have you at least for one more week, right?
at least, and hopefully I'll be back after that, depending on my semester workload.
You English majors taking all those classes and reading so much. I hate that.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, Sam, find us a song to play out to. Thanks for hosting, producing for us out there. We will see you next week. Guys, thanks for listening to Leftist Great Show. We're going to play one final song, and we are out of here. Have a great week.